at the end of each day, or sometimes maybe even a week, you can write about what you learned, what you struggled with, and how you can improve. The wee lags, the wins, the losses, the ahas, the things that you learned, the things that you realized, and the goals. This habit of doing this, they call it introspection, and you know, inspecting you on the inside. It's crucial for your personal growth. It helps you identify patterns in your behavior. You start to be able to see, you know, every time I do this, this happens, good or bad. It allows you to adjust your strategies. It allows you to make more informed decisions moving forward.
San Diego 911 emergency. You need to come right away. There's a man with a gun and it's loaded.
What's the police?
Receiving emergency signal from
4 George 1141. We've got a white team out there. We need paramedics. Code 3.
All available units will code that way.
Welcome to the De-Escalation Conversations podcast, where we delve into the transformative power today of simple tools in our journey toward healing those wounds, those traumas that you've had just on a day-to-day basis, maybe some big ones in your past, and the biggest thing, your journey toward success. I'm Carrie Mentz here, and in today's episode, we're focusing on one of the most accessible yet so powerful tools we have at our disposal, our morning routines and our evening routines. And we're going to be focusing on one part of those routines that it, whether you do it in the morning or at night, that's super important, and that's on journaling. Now, let's talk about our evening routine, because our evening routine sets us up for success the next day. Here's what I recommend that you do on everything in life. Last episode, we talked about goal setting, and I talked about reverse engineering your goals so that you decide on a big goal, BHAG, a big, hairy, amazing goal. You need to be able to reverse engineer it and come up with benchmarks along the way that you want to be able to meet. If I say I'm going to lose 40 pounds in the next year, and I wait until December of next year to see if I've achieved that goal or gotten any way toward it, I'll probably have lost like 2 pounds or maybe even gained weight. But if I go, okay, I got to lose 40 pounds. I got 12 months to do it. Let's say I do 4 pounds a month. That's a pound a week. That's pretty significant. It's doable, but it's pretty significant. I need to benchmark that, and I need to be watching certain things along the way so I don't go off the rails and only end up losing 10 pounds instead of what I wanted, which was 40. So you got to reverse engineer stuff. Talking about our evening routines, sleep is critical. No matter what occupation, but especially if you're a school teacher, a flight attendant, if you're a first responder, you're a business person, you need your rest. We all know that the research is out there that shows the rest that we need. And ideally, it's 7 to 9 hours, somewhere in there. Of course, 8 being the sweet spot. Some people are going, yeah, I can get 4 or 5. Here's the thing. It's going to catch up to you. So let's do some reverse engineering. And I want you to think about something. You get to do what you choose to do. And you might go, Carrie, I don't have any control over my life. My life is what I'm given. Well, that means you're living by default instead of by design. Live your life by design. So I'll give you an example of a morning routine that I have. So I'm up at 4 a.m. I'll tell you why when we talk about my morning routine. I'm up at 4 a.m. Now, that means if I want 7 to 8 hours sleep, I got to be in bed by 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the latest. Now, with knowing that, then I reverse engineer. Let's say I'm going to accept 7 hours of sleep and I'm going to be in bed at 9 p.m. Now, we're going to practice something called 3-2-1. It works like this. If I'm in bed at 9, 3 hours before, I stop eating. So I am done eating by 6 p.m. 2 hours before, I stop work. So by 7 p.m., I'm done working for the day. No matter what's going on, I'm done working. 1 hour before I go to sleep. So at 8 p.m., no electronics. 3 hours, no food. 2 hours, no work. 1 hour, no electronics. You got to be able to give your brain the ability to step away from the electronics, step away from that blue light that comes off your devices. You want to read a book, like a hard copy book, a real book, not a Kindle book, not a Nook or any of that stuff. Not the news on your phone or on your iPad or on a TV. I fall asleep to the TV. Horrible. It's a horrible way to do it. 3, 2, 1. 3 hours, no eating. 2 hours, no sleep. 1 hour, no electronics. In that last hour, if you want to do some journaling or meditation, you can, or you can do it in the morning. You can do it both places. I'm going to talk about journaling in just a little bit. I'm going to talk about meditation in a little bit. But that evening wind down routine can be as simple as reading 10 pages of something that's nonfiction, not something that's going to jack you up and get you all excited when you're reading some, you know, Lone Survivor, some special forces novel, or some other book that's going to start making your mind start twirling. Something in the self-development area is perfect for this time of day. You can also do journaling to capture what happened during that day. Going into even just a couple of minutes of meditation. When I talk about meditation, I'm talking about just clearing your mind and just thinking, what am I grateful for today? We talk a lot about executive state and survival state. Survival state being fight, flight, or freeze. Your brain does not allow you to be in gratitude and in survival state at the same time. What will happen is if you go into gratitude, your brain will go, oh, I'm safe, and you'll shift into executive state. It's a very, very powerful way of getting out of fight, flight, or freeze, getting out of survival state, calming the fear center of your brain by going into gratitude. What are you grateful for? It might be something as, you know what? I got a roof over my head. I got food in my refrigerator. I got gas in the gas tank of the car. It might be a crappy ass car, but it runs. It gets me from point A to point B. It may not look great. It may have a different colored driver's door than the rest of the car, but it gets me from point A to point B, and I'm grateful for that. It might be the relationship that you're in. Maybe you're grateful for the relationship you're no longer in. Finding that those things to be grateful for is super, super powerful, especially as you're getting ready to go to sleep. Now, let's talk about journaling. Keeping a journal. I journal at night and I journal in the morning. I journal at night with the express purpose of capturing my day. And I use something called WLAGs. WLAGs are super simple. WLAG. Wins, losses, ahas, and goals. Wins, losses, ahas, and goals. Last episode, we talked about setting goals, and in the goals in my journaling and my evening journaling is a great way to track my progress on that. Just make little notes about it. What am I doing right? Where did I slip? Where do I want to concentrate on moving forward? It resets my brain. It's like watering that little seed that you planted in your garden. Now, journaling, it's been lauded for centuries as a pathway to self-discovery, a means to success, and a healing balm, you know, like a salve or a lotion that you put on for your soul. So what I'd like you to do is think about your favorite notebook. If not, you can hop on Amazon or you can go to a stationery store. Find a really nice journal that you like to write in and your favorite pen. And we're going to talk about how the humble act of writing can unlock doors to personal triumph and emotional healing. Now, journaling, it's more than putting pen to paper. It's an act of self-communication. It's a dialogue with our inner selves. When we journal, we create a space for our thoughts and our feelings to be acknowledged and processed. If you've heard me talk about de-escalation, you've heard me use the term labeling, emotional labeling. This is a great opportunity to be able to do that for yourself. And when we label, that automatically sets us into executive state. Neuroscience proves that. Now, the simple act of journaling can have profound effects on our mental health and on our personal growth. In the realm of personal success, journaling aids in goal setting, tracking progress, reflecting on experiences. It becomes a tool for accountability and a record of our journey. It really anchors our learning. In terms of trauma healing, journaling provides a safe space to express our emotions, unpack traumatic experiences, and once again, track progress. In this case, it's tracking healing progress. It's a private arena where we can confront and comfort just those thoughts that are our innermost thoughts. And we can do it without judgment or fear. Question is, why does it work? Neuroscience provides some answers. When we write, especially by hand, we engage multiple areas of our brain, including those that are involved in thinking, language, and working memory. This process helps us to organize and understand our thoughts and emotions more clearly. It moves our thoughts from one portion of our brain to other portions. It's not just about venting or listing our grand achievements. It's about making sense of our inner world and how it relates to the world around us. So let's dive a little bit into journaling for personal success. Success, whether it's in your career, personal life, or relationships, requires clarity of purpose, and it requires consistent effort. A journal can be your roadmap and a companion in this journey. So start by writing down those goals we talked about in the last episode, and you can break the goals down into those smaller actionable steps, that reverse engineering, where you figure out, okay, I got to meet this one, then this one, then this one. Get those little dopamine hits along the way. And regular journaling about your progress helps you to maintain your focus and motivation, like what we talked about last week during the goals episode. It allows you to celebrate your achievements in your journal, even if they're small ones, even if they seem kind of insignificant. You still get to celebrate them. And this practice reinforces that positive mindset. And it also, it boosts your confidence because you're seeing that you are moving towards your goals. And if you're not, it allows you to do that little 2-millimeter shift to be able to stay on track for it. You can also use your journal for self-reflection. At the end of each day, or sometimes maybe even a week, you can write about what you learned, what you struggled with, and how you can improve. The wee lags, the wins, the losses, the ahas, the things that you learned, the things that you realized, and the goals. This habit of doing this, they call it introspection, and you know, inspecting you on the inside, it's crucial for your personal growth. It helps you identify patterns in your behavior. You start to be able to see, you know, every time I do this, this happens, good or bad. It allows you to adjust your strategies. It allows you to make more informed decisions moving forward. Now, gratitude journaling, we've talked about. It's really important to write down a few things that you're grateful for. And just doing that, it can shift your perspective. It definitely increases your positivity, and it opens your mind up to more opportunities for success. Let's talk about how journaling can help with trauma healing. Trauma, whether it's from a single event or ongoing stress, especially for teachers and first responders and shoot flight attendants, you're dealing with just stress on a regular basis. It can leave deep imprints on us. And journaling can be a powerful tool healing those deep imprints. When you're journaling for trauma healing, that benefit, it's essential that you create a safe and a private space. You need to be able to write freely and honestly about your feelings, your experiences related to what's been happening. I know for me in my career in law enforcement for 30 years, and prior to that when I was an ER technician and an ambulance crew member, and prior to that a firefighter for 7 years. I've been an EMT for 35 years. I've witnessed a lot of trauma. So when I write about that, when these thoughts come up and I write about them, I don't worry about grammar. I don't worry about style. I don't worry about spelling. It's for my eyes only. I'm not writing this for somebody else. My words sometimes come out jumbled. Sometimes they come out with cuss words. Sometimes I skip words because my mind is racing faster than my pen can write. But the act of writing helps bring out what's inside in it. The cool thing is, it's less overwhelming. Now, it's important to pace yourself, especially if you find certain topics really hard. You know, there's some, now, I'll be really blunt about it, there's some dead baby calls that pop up in my head. And when I try to write about them, sometimes I'm like, I've written enough for tonight. I'm done. I'll do something about it later. And then I'll make sure I come back to that. It's okay to step back and come back to them later when you feel ready. And over time, what you can start to do is identify patterns in your thoughts and behaviors that are linked to these things that you are remembering. And let me give you a quick analogy. This analogy was so powerful. A guy by the name of Dave Beltran gave this to me when I was a brand new police officer. He said, "Carry your memories," talking about a shooting, a fatal OIS. He said, "That's in, like, picture it like a shoebox full of photographs. And you put the lid on, you put it up on the top shelf in your closet. You walk past the closet and the box, like, jumps out at you and falls on the ground and all these photographs spill all over. And you kneel down, you start picking them up and you look at a few of them and you put them in the box. And you put the lid back on, you put it up there. What's happened is part of your life forever. But it doesn't mean you have to experience it every single day. And what's really cool is this. Not long after the event happens, that box is jumping out at you maybe a couple times a day, maybe a couple times an hour. But what happens over time is, as you look at these pictures, as you watch these videos in your brain, what happens is there becomes more and more and more time between the times that that box jumps out at you. That box is always there. It's always part of you, but it doesn't jump out and hit you as much. And that insight that you get out of journaling, the insight out of that analogy, it can be invaluable to understanding and overcoming what's replaying repeatedly, looping through your head. Celebrate the small victories in your journal. A day when you felt more at peace, or a moment when you handled a trigger well. You didn't lose your cool. You didn't yell or shout or slam things around or break things or just sulk by yourself. Write about coping strategies that work for you and write about the ones that don't. Wins, losses, ahas, and goals. Remember, healing, it's not linear. And your journal is a testament to your resilience and strength, and it helps remind you sometimes. I know I go back and I look at journals from when I was on submarines. I was in the Navy for 9 years. And I kept several journals while I was out on patrol on deployments. I did 8 deployments, long ones. And I kept journals from them. And I look back over them and go, wow, it's wild the coping tools I have now that I didn't have back then. So let me give you some practical tips and techniques, because I want to talk about exactly how to put all this evening routine into practice. Now, for your journaling, here's some tips. Make journaling a regular practice, whether it's daily or weekly. Find something that works for you. For me, in the evening, it's about gratitude. It's about capturing the day. It's about my wee legs. And in the morning, it's about, what do I want to accomplish that day? What do I get to look forward to? What do I get to do, not what do I have to do? Find your own rhythm, whatever works for you. Maybe you're only going to do it once a week. That's cool, but stick to it. Be consistent. Prompts. If you're stuck, use some prompts. For success journaling, a prompt like, what are my top 3 goals this week? Or what did I learn today? That can be helpful. Remember, wins, losses, ahas, the goals. Those are prompts. If you're dealing with a lot of trauma, you've been through some tough stuff, tough times, you're going through a tough times in your relationship, or maybe your relationship ended and you're having troubles processing all that and you're feeling down on that. Prompts as simple as, how am I feeling right now? What's a memory that's been on my mind? It's emotional labeling, and that can help guide your writing. mindfulness, and meditation. Combining your journaling with a mindfulness practice. In other words, before you write, take a few minutes to meditate or practice deep breathing. Do the box breathing. 4 seconds in, hold for 4 seconds, 4 seconds out, hold for 4 seconds. 4 seconds in, hold for 4 seconds, 4 seconds out, hold for 4 seconds, 4 seconds in, hold for 4 seconds, 4 seconds out, hold for 4 seconds. Box breathing. Maybe you want to do 6. Maybe you want to do 8. The slower you breathe, the more centered you become, the more your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in that slows all the heartbeat, the respiration. The faster you breathe, your sympathetic nervous system kicks in. That's the go switch. The parasympathetic is the brakes. Now, periodically, go back and read your previous entries, because this is going to give you some great insights into your growth and your healing journey. One thing I think is really important, and it's the last tip, is keep it private. Ensure your journal is in a safe, private space. This freedom from judgment encourages honesty and deep reflection. Get the commitment from the people that are in your living space that your journal is off limits, regardless of anything. You need to, you can buy a small gun safe and stick your journal in it along with your 9mm or 40 or 45, whatever you're carrying. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about that. We covered the evening routines. We talked about journaling. Now I want to talk about the morning routines. So I'm up at 4 a.m. From 4 a.m. until about 4:45, I do journaling, I do reading, and I do meditation. I try to break that all up into 15-minute blocks. I'll journal for 15 minutes, I'll read for 15 minutes, and then I'm ready to meditate for 15 minutes. I don't meditate right when I first wake up. Otherwise, I'll call it sleeping, or most people call it sleeping. I'd call it meditating, but most people call it sleeping an extra 15 minutes. I wake up slow. I prefer to, because too many years of my law enforcement career and when I was on the fire department and on the ambulance, I was always on call. So I had to jump up and go, go, go. And I just like being able to do that a little bit more slowly now. So what I do is I get up, I begin by journaling. It helps me kickstart. And then I do some reading and then I do the meditation. Now, the meditation I do, it's called Vipassana, and all I do is I literally just close my eyes and I concentrate on the air going in and out. I feel the tip of my nose as the air goes in and out. Thought comes in. Yep, I have that thought. Let it go. Back concentrating on my slow breathing in and out. Now, that's maybe not a perfect explanation of Vipassana meditation, but It's Carrie's version of what I learned during a 10-day silent retreat in the UK back in 2018 when I did that. And that retreat was amazing. If you ever want to hear more about it, reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you about it. But this meditation that I do settles me, and then I head for the gym. I do a 5 a.m. grind gym class. It's hardcore. It's go, go, go for an hour. Then afterwards, I'll do one of three things. I'll either come home, get showered, get ready for work, or I'll do the 6 to 6:30 a.m. cardio class, or I'll do a hill run where I'm doing cardio work. Now, it just depends on where I'm at during that week. And I do that Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, we have a boot camp, which is like ultimate frisbee, is football frisbee. And so it's an hour of hardcore running. And that's the way I'm recovering from my cancer journey, from all the effects that chemo had on my body and that the cancer had on my body. That's how I heal. Now, I am not the best guy at the gym, but I'm consistent. And I'm always there and I'm cheering other people on because that helps me. I'm not the fastest playing ultimate frisbee by any means, but I'm consistent and I'm there. That's the thing. So the morning routine, reading, maybe or maybe not journaling, a little bit of meditation, a little bit of gratitude, some exercise. Now, the question becomes in the afternoon if you want to do a second workout. And one of the apps that you can check out, it's called 75, I think it's called 75 Hard. I just forgot the name of it. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it, though. If you Google 75 Hard, it'll come up. And that's two workouts, at least 45 minutes each. At least one of them is outside. Now, depending where you live, time of year, getting outside might be a little bit harder. But getting some sunlight on you is really, really important. Getting that vitamin D going. So those are some practical examples of an evening routine and a morning routine. And as we wrap things up today, I hope that these ideas can lead you toward a brighter, more fulfilled life. And I hope today's discussion inspires you to pick up a journal and start your own journey of self-discovery and healing, to pick up a book to have by your nightstand so you're not on your electronics, to practice the 3-2-1 so you get the best sleep possible. Don't forget to subscribe for more insights into personal growth, healing, de-escalation, conflict resolution, negotiating, and communicating. Until next time, keep writing, keep reflecting, keep growing, keep doing 3-2-1, keep reverse engineering your day for success, keep living your life by design, not by default. And most of all, stay safe. I hope you found a lot of great value in this episode of the De-Escalation Conversations podcast. Please be sure to go out to our website, theidea.world, theidea.world. On that website, just click on the link that resonates with you most. If you're a K-12 educator, if you're a firefighter, medical services, law enforcement, flight attendants, whatever industry you're in, we have specialized training for you. So check that training out, because literally it can save your life, it can save your relationship, it can save your career. So check out theidea.world. I look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.